Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Go ahead and just dive in here. In case you won't hear last Sunday, I started a series that I feel like the Lord had led me into that I am calling The Bible Says. The Bible Says. And one of the reasons why I feel like God has put this on my heart for our church is, one, because of the culture that we live in now, we see just a disregard of the Word of God in our culture, but not only a disregard of it, the Word of God in our culture, but even in some churches. And sadly, because we see this turning away from the truth, which is the Bible, we see that the Word, as it predicts and prophesied in the last days, that they would be a falling away. And we see that happening. So this thing is heavy on my heart because I don't want anybody here to fall away from the truth. And so that's really heavy on my heart. And so God help us to love the Bible, to love the Word, to love the Bible, to learn the Bible so we can live the Bible. And so God, do that in us. That's been my prayer for myself, but for all of us here, that we would have a deep love for the Word of God, and we would love it so much that we want to learn it, but not to gain some kind of head knowledge, but to live it where it impacts our heart. And so God, help us to just be receptive to what God has wanted to say to us through the Bible. And it all really started with me in a scripture I shared with you last week that was found in 3 John. And I want to read it to you one more time because it just blesses my heart every time I read it. And I just remember how the Holy Spirit just grabbed me when I came across this. And I've read it many times, but how many of you know when you read something and you might read it later and the Holy Spirit grabs you a different way and just does something else with it? And that's what the Lord did. And in 3 John, the first chapter, which is the only chapter there, verse 1-4, it says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. And in this last verse, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Think about that. I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. There's no greater joy. Listen, your home may bring you joy. Your family may bring you joy. The interest rates coming down may bring you joy. The retirement fund going up for you may bring you joy. But listen, there's no greater joy than to know that your children are walking in the truth. Amen. And that's how I feel about every one of you here, sons and daughters of God, and entrusted to me to pastor, and I want you, no greater joy for me than know that you are walking in the truth. And last Sunday, we learned what the Bible says about walking in the truth of fasting, and that we're believing that this year, 2026, is going to be, because we're fasting is going to bring release. Fasting is going to bring restoration. Fasting is going to bring reward. Aren't you thankful for that today? that we're believing that this is going to be the year that things are going to break off. These attachments on your life or somebody else's life are going to break off. We are going to rejoice that this is going to be the year of restoration, where God is restoring families, restoring lives, restoring marriages. We're going to rejoice that this is going to be the year of reward, where there's going to be more souls saved, more lives changed, more of the presence of God, more of the peace of God, more of the power of God. I mean, we're going to just celebrate and we're going to praise the Lord. This is the year of release and restoration and reward. Well, you know, this past week, praying about the message today, it's just something I couldn't get away from. And you'll understand why here in just a minute as I get more into the Word. But today, I want to talk to you about what the Bible says about the final judgment and hell. What the Bible says about the final judgment and hell. Would you do me a favor and please pray with me right now? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill every one of us with your presence, your power. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me right now, God, to just express the fruit of your Spirit with love and kindness and gentleness. God, help me, Lord, to preach with compassion. And God, help us all to be open. Holy Spirit, begin to convict people of sin, begin to draw people to the Father. I believe you already have done that. You're doing it now. And I pray, God, your anointing to be able to proclaim your word in the name of Jesus. I want to talk to you about what the Bible says about the final judgment and hell. Now, the Bible says, and this scripture is not on the screen right now, so I don't have it, but it just came to me this morning, and it's in Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed to all men to die once, and then after that death, there will be judgment. It's appointed to all men to die once, and then the judgment. Now, when you're reading the Bible, you need to understand that there is mentioned two different kinds of judgment in the Bible. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, the first judgment I mentioned to you from the Bible, what the Bible says, is the judgment seat of Christ. It's the judgment seat of Christ. The second judgment I'm going to refer to here in just a minute is the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. So the two judgments are the judgment seat of Christ and then the great white throne judgment. Now, when we look at the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ is where the saved are one day, those that are followers of Jesus Christ. You are born again. You have been following Christ. There is going to come a day that you are going to appear before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. This is for the saved. This is for those that are believers, born again, followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he is motivating the church to keep doing the work of the Lord. And he tells them in verse 10, he says, "For we," talking about the church, "that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." As a follower of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a day, Paul says, that you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to be judged for the works that you have done in the name of the Lord, if you've done any. You're going to be judged for the works that you have done, those works that for the Lord that brought him glory, works that have been tested by the fire of God, that have not been burned up like wood, hay, and stubble, but they lasted through the fire like gold. And you're going to have your works. And there at that judgment seat of Christ is those works that you have done that have withstood the fire of God. You're going to be rewarded for those works. You're going to be rewarded for those works that you did for the Lord that were all for his glory. And that will be at the judgment seat of Christ, and that is for those that are saved and followers of Jesus. And then there's another judgment that I mentioned to you, and this judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment, the Great White Throne Judgment. It is found in Revelation 20:11, and John has this vision, and he says here that I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, and the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. Please hear me this morning that you need to know that at the great white throne judgment, that will be the unsaved. That will be those that never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. The unsaved will appear before the great white throne judgment. And it will be a place where they will see the evidence of the many times that they willfully rejected God. The evidence will be revealed to them of the many times that they rejected God, they rejected his love, they rejected his son, and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. The evidence will be presented to them and revealed to them. The Father is going to reveal how he sent his one and only son. The evidence that will be presented, Jesus is going to reveal the evidence that he came to die for our sins, that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal evidence of the many times that you were convicted as an unsaved person of your sins and you never repented of your sins, you never put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the evidence at the great white throne judgment is going to be, it's going to be so obvious and so overwhelming that the person standing there before the Lord that is unsaved, they're going to want to flee for their life. They're going to want to flee for their life. And the Bible says here in Revelation 20:11 says that there's no place for them to hide. There's no place for them to hide. You can't hide from the Lord. And you're going to appear before him, unsaved, and you're going to be held accountable for the evidence that is presented against you. And the one who sits on the great white throne, you need to understand, friend, he is holy. He is our righteous judge. It is Jesus. In fact, in John 5:22, the Bible says that the Father judges no one but has given all judgment to the Son. Jesus Christ himself, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, he is the holy judge, the righteous judge, and he is going to judge from that great white throne with perfect justice and perfect authority. And the Bible says in Revelation, I just read to you, that standing in front of that great white throne are great and many that are unsaved. And there's going to be books that are going to be opened up to reveal the sin and the wickedness of that individual's life. These books are God's records of the great and the small, meaning a lot of people. And it will be records of the way they lived their life. In fact, in verse 15 of Revelation 20, it says that one of the books that will be opened is the Book of Life. And that book was opened, and anyone whose name that was not found recorded in it was thrown into the lake of fire, which is hell. Now, I want to just stop here a minute and, one, let you know that the Bible says that we are going to be judged one day. You're either going to be at the judgment seat of Christ as somebody that is saved, and you're going to be rewarded for the works that you have done, if you've done any that were for the Lord, that withstood the fire of the Lord. But there's also another judgment, the great white throne judgment, for those that are unsaved. And for those that stand there, evidence is going to be presented, and they're going to be sentenced, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, a real place called hell. Now, I want to talk to you a minute about a few things about what the Bible says about hell. And the reason I want to is because there's some lies right now that are circulating in our culture about hell. If you've been into Christian news any at all, you would realize that some that have kind of changed their way of thinking about what hell is and what it means have come out recently. And So let me just talk to you about just three different lies about hell right now that are prevalent in our culture. Number one is there's a lie out there that hell is symbolic language in the Bible, that it's not a real place, it's symbolic. It's not a real place, it's not a reality. It's just symbolic language that Jesus was using. And that is a lie from hell, amen. Number two is there is a lie about hell that everyone is going to be saved. It's called universalism. And you need to be aware of that because those type of churches are, and that kind of doctrine is really popping up more and more around us. Of course it is, because everybody wants to hear that I'm going to be saved. Everybody wants to hear I'm going to be saved. Yeah, I can live just like I want to. I can keep sinning just like I want to. I can live contrary to the word of God. It don't matter because everyone's going to be saved. And that is just tickling the itching ears of a lot of people. And that is another lie, that everyone will be saved, because everyone will not be saved. And then here's the third one that is so prevalent right now, and that is that hell is not eternal. That hell is not eternal. There's a false teaching out there right now called annihilation. Annihilation, believing that God, out of his love, that he is going to totally annihilate that person that is not a believer. They'll be annihilated, they will no longer exist, and they will not be an eternal hell for them to suffer in for the rest of eternity. They don't believe hell is eternal. They believe you are just completely annihilated. And that has been in the news very recently. And a lot more of the evangelical churches are falling to that lie. So I want to just take the next few minutes and talk to you and confront these lies about hell. I want to tell you what the Bible says about hell. You need to know that hell, the Bible says hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. Hell is not symbolic. Hell is not some kind of just state of mind. Hell is a real place. It is a real place. And sadly, surveys indicate that a lot of people, even in mainstream churches, they don't believe that hell is real. And you may not believe it, you may not like it, but let me just say, just because you don't agree with it, just because you don't like it, it doesn't change what the truth is. The Bible says hell is a real place. It's a real place. If there were no hell, there would be no heaven. If there were no hell, the Bible's not true. If there were no hell, Jesus would be a liar. The truth is, Jesus preached on hell, and he warned about the reality of this place called hell more than anyone else in the Bible. Jesus, he preached on hell more than he did heaven. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you must believe what the Bible says. It's not symbolic. Hell is not symbolic. Everyone is not going to be saved. We're not totally annihilated. Hell is a real place for those that are unsaved, that are going to end up going there after that great white throne judgment. Many people believe that once you die, you stop existing. That's the annihilation. And which is a lie. Hell is a real place. And if you read, I want you to do me a favor. Write this verse down, or this chapter down, and go back later and read it. Luke 16, go back and read it later and study it. But Jesus reveals an account, not a parable, but an account of two men, and one in heaven and one in hell. And it's a real place that Jesus is talking about here, because this rich man that is in hell, he has all of his senses. He can see, he can hear, he can taste, he can touch. He's tormented there in this hell. Why? Because it's a real place. Hell is a real place. The Bible says hell is a real place. And we just kind of toss that word around all the time, like, you know, man, we just kind of use it so flippantly, like, you know, that, well, that, they might end up going to hell. And we don't think about what... They may go to a real hell. It's a real place. And we need to know that the Bible says that hell is a real place, and it is a place for many people. Jesus said in Matthew 7, He says that you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate, that the highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. They choose that way. God doesn't send anybody to hell. They choose to go there. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. Who in the world are going to be the many to choose the highway to hell? Who are going to be the many? I'll tell you who they are. It is the unsaved. It is the unrepentant. It is the ungodly. It is the unbeliever. It is the neglectors. It is the rejectors. It is the mockers. It is the wicked. It is those who willfully refuse to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me tell you who the many are going to be. The many who choose hell will be bad people. Bad people will choose hell because they're immoral, they're evildoers, they have blasphemed God, and they never turned away from that. Good people will choose hell, people who trusted in their own goodness, thinking that their good works will get them favor and merit with God. How many of you know that's another lie? Good people will choose hell. Religious people are going to choose hell. Religious people, because you know what? I mean, my name's on the church membership there, and I attend church there, and I tithe, and I teach, and I preach, and I sing, and I serve. There's a lot of people that think just because they're doing something and doing something and doing something, that's earned their salvation, friend. That is not the truth of God's word. Religious people, sadly, who never knew Christ, will be in hell. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22, 23, that many, will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then Jesus said this, and I will tell them plainly that I never knew you. Depart from me or away from me, you evildoers. There's going to be many people that choose the highway to hell. Procrastinators are going to choose the highway to hell. People who heard the gospel and they kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, thinking that, you know what, I got plenty of time, I'll get right later. How many of you know you're playing Russian roulette when you do that? Too busy. I'm too busy with life. I mean, I got so much I want to accomplish. I got so much I want to do. I'm too busy with my life. I think I'll just get saved later. And the devil will sell you that lie, especially to the procrastinator, that you can get saved tomorrow. But you know the Bible says that there's no promise for tomorrow. There's no promise for tomorrow. In Revelation 20, verse 15, reminds us of how tragic it is that there will be many people, great and small, as the Bible says, many people who will appear to have it all together now, knowing that eventually, one day, they're going to stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment, and they're going to be judged, and they're going to be sentenced righteously and perfectly and cast into the lake of fire because they never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. There's going to be many. And I don't know about you, but when I think about that, it should stir something in us as Christians that we would pray and want to reach as many people as we can with the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that hell is eternal torment. It's eternal torment. In hell, the unsaved are going to be tormented forever. Matthew 8, 12, Jesus said that the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible, listen to me, church, please hear me. The Bible says that hell is a real place of eternal torture. And no matter how dark things get in this world, and no matter how terrifying things get in this world, I promise you, friend, nothing can compare to how tormenting hell will be. Hell is going to be a tormenting place because it's a place of everlasting darkness. It's banishment from the very presence of God, who God is light. And it's going to be eternal banishment from the very presence of God. There'll be no more presence of God. You will be eternally separated from the presence of God. Hell is eternal torment because there is an unquenchable fire there. The Bible says it is a fire that never goes out. That word unquenchable is really a word for eternal, meaning forever and ever. That fire is going to burn forever and ever and ever. Hell is tormenting because of the weeping and gnashing of teeth. There'll be this weeping and wailing that we can't even really comprehend here on this earth in hell. And it will be a weeping that will cause people to just gnash in their teeth. And they'll be weeping and gnashing because hell is a place of no hope. Hell is a place of no help and no mercy and no grace and no peace and no comfort and no relief. Only eternal torment forever and ever and ever. Hell is eternal torment because of the darkness. Imagine right now that today, when you look at the sun rise and when you look at the sun set and when you lay your head down tonight, that you'll never see light again. And you'll wake up to total darkness, a total blackout. It's a supernatural darkness that we can't even comprehend. Hell is tormenting because of the total darkness. Hell is tormenting because the Bible says that there's a worm there that never dies. And you've heard me say this before, because Bible scholars will tell you that many of them believe that the worm represents our memory. It represents our memory, and they go back to Luke 16, and they recall there that this rich man, he remembers that he has brothers and family that are lost, and he's saying, please, somebody go to them. And he remembers them, and it's just a reminder that part of hell and the reason it's going to be tormented is because we're going to have our memory. And your memory is going to torment you because you're going to remember every time the good news was preached to you. You're going to remember every church service you were in and you willfully rejected to get saved and to give your life to Jesus. And you'll remember it, and there'll be nothing you can do about it. Every time you heard the gospel preached, every time you remember, you'll remember when somebody witnessed to you. Every chance you had to receive Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, every move of the Holy Spirit that convicted you to turn from your sin and to turn to Him, you're going to remember it. Hell is going to be tormenting you with all those memories, and there'll be nothing you can do because it'll be too late. Hell is eternal torment and torture. And the Bible says, hell is a final place. Please hear me. When your life is over on this earth, your destination is fixed. When your life is over on this earth, your destination is fixed. The reason why is because it is final. Hell is final. No more chances for you to get saved. When your life is done on this earth, your destination is fixed, and there's no more opportunities for you to get saved. Listen to me. I'm just going to confront another lie that's out there. You've heard me say it before. There is no purgatory. There's no place where you just kind of drift off and you wait, and then maybe somebody can pray you into heaven, or maybe you'll have another chance to get saved. Listen, when your life is over with, your destination is fixed. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, then hell will be final for you. It'll be too late. There is no parole in hell. There's no get out on good behavior in hell. There's no get out of hell card. Hell is final. There's no more chances. There's no way out. There's no escape. There's no exit. And the reason why is hell is final, hell is fixed, and hell is forever. But I got some good news for you this morning. I got good news. The Bible says that hell is avoidable. Hell is avoidable. Hey, you should be praising the Lord right now. If you're saved today, that hell is avoidable today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been rescued from hell by Jesus Christ. I have good news for you, friend. Hell is avoidable. You know how? Because the Bible says that the book of life was open, and there's some that had no name mentioned in it, but you can have your name in the book of life. And you know how? By repenting of your sins and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. It's just that simple, friend. It's just that simple. We make it so complicated. No, I got to work for it. I got to earn it. You don't know how bad I've been. You just don't know. I gotta do this and do that. No, no. Just repent of your sins and by faith receive Jesus Christ and what he did for you and me on the cross when he was crucified, he died, he was buried, and on the third day he was resurrected back to life, and he is alive. And because he lives, we don't have to go to hell. We can go to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. The Bible says, Pastor Kevin, if you guys want to come, please. The Bible says in John 1:12, to all who did receive him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let me read that one more time. To all. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish meaning go to hell, but have everlasting life, meaning heaven. Man, if you can't ever think of anything else to praise God for, you better be thanking him every day that I am not on my way to hell. I am on my way to heaven, and I'm going to praise him forevermore, forevermore. To all, say all, who received Jesus, who believed in his name, that means trusted in him, he gave the right to become children of God. You can avoid, listen to me, church, please. Help me, Holy Spirit. You can avoid the great white throne judgment. And friend, please hear me. I'm not here playing games with you. I'm pleading with you. I promise you, I have prayed, God, please. Is this what you want to say on this Sunday? I plead that if you're unsaved, listen, I'm not playing games with you, but don't you play games with God. I'm telling you, friend, that if you don't get your heart right, if you don't ask the Lord to save you and turn from your sins and turn to Christ and follow him, there's a great white throne judgment. And you can avoid all that. You can avoid that what's standing before him, to him presenting the evidence and so obvious and so overwhelming, and you're gonna wanna flee from his presence, but you can't go nowhere. You can avoid that. You can avoid being cast into the lake of fire. And it all happens by repenting of your sins and receiving Jesus Christ. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary, the cross, that you would die and shed your blood so we could have our sins forgiven. We could be born again. Hallelujah. We could be believers, followers of Christ, saved, and on our way to heaven. Would you do me a favor? I want everybody here in this house, every Christian, to pray. Would you bow your heads right now and close your eyes and allow the Holy Spirit here just to work? Friend, I love you. I've done my very best today, Lord, to be able to preach your word. But listen to me, my friend. God, he loves you. He loves you. And he would love to rescue you from the grip of hell, this reality called hell, this place called hell. The only way you can avoid is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. That means you repent of your sins and right here, right now, that today would be the day of salvation and you would receive Christ. You would receive him into your life for forgiveness of your sins, to be born again. There's no magic formula to just write out of your heart. There has to be a cry to God, save me, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I turn from it right now, Lord, and I put my trust in you and what you did for me on the cross. Friend, if you're here this morning and you have never, never made a decision to follow Christ, to ask for forgiveness of your sins, to repent, to receive him. Or maybe you have, and maybe over time you have just drifted away and God is calling you to come back. Come back! Because nothing can separate you from the love of God and he's lovingly reaching after you right now. I want you to do me a favor, whether it's for the very first time or whatever it may be. If you need to avoid hell by receiving Christ into your life right now, and you want me to pray with you and pray for you, not to embarrass you, and I promise you, but just to pray with you so we can make sure everything is settled right now with your soul, I want you to do me a favor, and with boldness and with faith and with courage, I want you to lift your hand high so I can pray for you. Would you raise your hand if you need? God bless you. God bless you. Come on, come on. Would you obey the Lord? God bless you. Would you obey the Lord? God bless you. Would you obey the Lord? Would you obey the Lord? It's the real place. It's the real place. And you can avoid it right now. Just put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Hands up, hands down, it don't matter. Just pray with me right now. You can just pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner and I have fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that the gift of salvation comes through you. And so I thank you that through the cross, I can put my faith in you, knowing that you died in my place. You were my substitute. I deserved it. But Jesus, you took my place on the cross. You shed your blood. You went through the shame, the suffering of Calvary. And I thank you, Lord, that your blood that was shed poured out for the forgiveness of my sins. And I believe right now by faith that you were buried. And I believe that on the third day you were raised back to life and you have conquered the grave. You have conquered death and hell. Hallelujah. And I put my trust in you right now. I surrender my life to you right now. My faith is in you. I repent of my sins. I'm no longer going to continue to chase after the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the sins of the world. Right now, I'm turning to you, Christ, and I'm surrendering my life to you. By faith, I declare I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And I receive him and what he's done for me into my life now, that I am born again. I am born again. Holy Spirit, do it right now, Lord, into every heart, every soul, that they would be born again, changed, transformed by your power. Do it, God. Do it, Lord. And I pray right now and thank you that heaven is my home. Jesus, you are my Savior. Declare, he is my Lord and Savior. He is my Lord and Savior. I confess with my mouth that he is my Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray and I thank you that my soul has been saved and now I'm on my way to heaven and I am so glad. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. If you made a decision for Christ today, please let me know. Let somebody on our staff know. Let another brother or sister in Christ know so we can pray for you. We can encourage you. I want to leave you with one last thought here. And this is to the church. I want you to think about what I'm about to tell you. There's a study out there right now, and it may be changed a little bit, but the study says that 125,000 people die every day without the Lord. 125,000 people die every day without the Lord. That means on this Sunday that we're in right now, think about how tragic this sounds. Think about what I'm about to tell you. 125,000 people are going to pass away today, and they're going to go to hell. They're going to go to hell. And when you think about it, if it doesn't burden you, if it doesn't break you and move you to want to pray and fast more, to witness more, then we need to make sure that we get around this altar and ask God to touch our heart. And we need to realize that hell is a real place, and as followers of Christ, the church, we need to live like we believe that. We need to live like we believe that. So-and-so, they're just dabbling around, and they're doing this and doing that, living contrary and living in sin, and sooner or later, they'll get it right. Yeah, well, you know what? There's a chance they could die today and go to hell. And God, help us as a church to be a roadblock. Help us to be a roadblock. I don't know about you, but I want to be a roadblock to people that are on their way to hell. Our church needs to be a roadblock. Listen, the Lord hit me with this. May our church be a roadblock to people on their way to hell. May our church do everything with everything we can with the heart of God to reach as many people as we can. Help us as a church to every sermon pointing people to Jesus, every song pointing people to Jesus, every work of service pointing people to Jesus. Why? Because people are dying and going to hell. Seeking the lost. Let that be the heart of this church. And may we be a roadblock by our testimony. You have a testimony in your life. Come on, hello. Has God not done something for you in your life? Do you not have a testimony? I mean, you got a testimony. Come on, share that testimony and share the gospel and let people know what the Lord has done in your life. And don't be afraid. Win them to Jesus. Win them to Jesus. And then the third thing I would tell you, the roadblock we need to be is keep praying and keep fasting. Keep praying and keep fasting for souls to be saved, for this church to have a burden for souls. I want you to do me a favor. I'm taking a survey right now. How many of you in this house right now have a family member or a friend that you know that they're not living for Jesus, and if they were to die, if they were at 125,000 a day, if they were to die, they would go to hell? I want you to do me a favor. Raise your hand. I want you to hold that hand, and I want you to stand up with that hand still raised. Come on, stand up with that hand still raised. And I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to come out of your seat right now and bring that person. Bring them. Come on, step out. Come on, come, come. Bring them to the altar. Bring them to the altar. If you can't get here, just line up in the aisleway. But bring them to the altar right now, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would get a hold of their heart, and God would save them and rescue them from the dominion of darkness, and their eyes would be open, and we would see the salvation of the Lord in their life right now. Just pray. Call their name out right there where you are. Call their name out right there where you are. Call them out to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, I pray. I pray, Lord, I call out my family. I call out my friend, Lord. I call out Steve, God. I call out Dewey, God. I call out Kent, God. I call out Brent, God. I call them out, God. I call out Gail, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, get a hold of their heart, God. Get a hold of their heart, God. In the name of the Lord, we pray for every family member. We pray for every friend, God. By the work of your Holy Spirit, save them, Lord. Save them, Lord. Save them, Lord. Would you pray, pray, pray? God, give us a burden. Give us a burden, God. Give me a burden, God. Break the heart of this church for the things that break your heart, God. Lord, we pray for souls to be saved. More souls, God. More souls, God. More disciples, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray it right now, Lord. Release the attachment off of their life right now. Let this be the year that that attack and that attachment from the darkness is released off. their eyes would be opened, and God, they would come to know you as Lord and as Savior. We pray that right now in the name of Jesus. In the name